Let's go ahead and get rolling. It's good to be back here. We were at, Silas mentioned the Frontline Conference over the last week or so. And so it's good to be back. You know how it is when you're traveling and you're like, now what day is it? You know, you lose all concept of time. So I was just gone for a week, but I feel like I've been gone for like 6 weeks. And so it's good to be here and see all your faces again. So that conference is something we hold every year, so you might pencil in for next year. It's usually December 27th through the 30th. This year it went one extra day. But it's kind of targeted for the college students, but it's something our family's gone to because when our oldest Blaze, when he was, kind of not at that age yet, we were thinking, well, it'd be good to get him just in kind of around other people who are a little older, kind of in the next phase of life, who are following God and excited about him and passionate and stuff. And so we started taking our kids to this conference, and it's great for them, of course. Now both Blaze and Hope are that age, but all of our kids have learned to love it. They love going, they love the teachings, they love just hanging out with friends from the church and meeting new friends from other churches, and it's all very relevant. The music was so loud, my ears started to bleed. No, it didn't. They didn't really bleed, but almost. The snare drum, it was like every time he hit the snare drum, I would blink. And I thought, okay, I'm out of here. So that will be my my complaint on the little feedback stuff. But other than that, it's great for all ages. So if that's something you can ever make, it's great to do that. Last week, John Hauser spoke, and I had the opportunity to listen to that yesterday morning, and he spoke on the topic of pain. And I thought it was a really, really good teaching on pain. I thought he really had some really helpful, amazing insights. And so if that's something you'd be interested in, I encourage you to listen to that. It's on the website. And for me, it was helpful. It was just, I told him one of the things is sometimes when you talk about pain, you like, it's almost like you have to drag people through the pain. And somehow he was able to talk about it without doing that and still be helpful. So I thought it was super encouraging. So I know typically at the end of December, a lot of people are gone. So if you missed that, I encourage you to listen to that. So today, I want to talk about tough love. And by tough love, typically we think of tough love as kind of being mean with the person you love. You know, like you have your 25-year-old kid that still lives at home, and at some point you have to say, okay, you're on your own, and you throw them out into the world. And so we think of that as tough love. And I don't mean it in that way. I mean more like love is really tough sometimes. That to really love people the way that God wants us to is challenging, and it causes us to address some things in our own hearts that are hard to deal with, but that we need to deal with for us to really be able to have a meaningful level of love with people. And then I also mean tough love kind of in the sense of when we love at that level, that we have a strong love. We have a tough love that can handle some conflict and just the normal trials and stuff in relationships. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13 some this morning, at a section of that. As love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We're going to focus on those words there that are underlined. And I think 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is known as the love chapter, and it's famous for that. And I think we tend to think of it in terms of marriage. It's something we share at weddings. And we know that it's not just, romantic love type of thing, that it's a more generic, it's talking about agape love or unconditional love. And even though we know it's not just for marriage, I think what happens in our minds is it's easy to kind of think, yeah, this is the kind of love you should have with your spouse and with three or four other people. And it's kind of interesting because if you look at 1 Corinthians, if you just think about the book, it was written to the church, right? It was written to correct some errors in the church. If you think of 1 Corinthians 12, if you remember, that's where it talks about the gifts in the church, and then it talks about the most excellent gift that goes into chapter 13, which is this, the love chapter, and then chapter 14 talks about appropriate worship in the church. So we see it's addressing the church. And so I think when it's talking about love, it's not talking about your spouse, it's not talking about three or four people in your life that it's really close to, but this is love among one another, love in the church. I think it extends beyond that as well. It can be applied generically, but that level of love is something that God would have us experience with many people, not just two or three. And to me, that's kind of cool because I like, I like relationships. I think God has made us to be relational. I like to be in a church family. I like to, be in a group of people where you feel like you belong and you fit in and you're loved. I like kind of the band of brothers idea of, we're in it together. And there's an appeal to that of being with others at a deeper level. But there's also an aspect of kind of danger or risk in that I'm a little bit averse to. Like, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want to be that close to that many people. I just, I have my wife, my family, and my mom, and that's about it. And so what I want to do is I want to look at some of these words there that are underlined out of 1 Corinthians 13 and just talk about some things in this chapter that I think are helpful in living a life of love that is willing to take some of those risks. So let's pray. God, I pray that you would teach us this morning. I just think of how you're a relational being, how the most important command is for us to love you, how the second most important command is for us to love our neighbor. God, I think of how the new command that you gave Jesus was to love as you have loved, to love one another in that way. Love is super important. And deep, meaningful relationships are super important. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to just overcome some of our fears and to be able to trust and hope and God, really grow in this area. Pray that we would hear from you this morning, that your Spirit would move in our hearts, that you would speak to us and teach us and minister to us. Draw us close to yourself. And so we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the first couple of words that I want to focus on are humility and patience. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. So we'll start with the proud. Obviously, the opposite of proud would be to be humble. And I think there's an aspect of when we're humble, when we recognize our own weaknesses, our own level of brokenness, it really helps us to extend grace to other people. Now, for me, I'll share kind of two of the hardest times in my life. One is about 26 years ago, my wife, who was my high school sweetheart, left me. And I went through a divorce, and it was completely heartbreaking. And I know that might be weird for some of you that don't know me or don't know that part of my life. If you ever have any questions on that, I'd be glad to address those. If you have questions about remarriage or a pastor being divorced and things like that, I would have had those questions too. I would absolutely be glad to talk to you about those things. But as a result of that, man, I was really hurt. Man, I felt like a turtle that had been smashed and had a broken shell or no shell. And I was pretty gun-shy about, ever having that close of a relationship with someone again. And so a couple years later after the divorce, and after she had remarried, I knew that there was no hope of reconciliation there. I met Kathleen and we started hanging out and, just eating together at Burger King or whatever and starting this relationship. And, oh man, it was so challenging. Remember this one time we went for a walk, and we went for a walk around the track at Colorado State University. So we were in Fort Collins, and it was at night, and we were just talking, and I have no idea what we were talking about. we went around the track a couple times, and I just remember crying. And she'd be like, "What's wrong? Did I say something wrong? Did I offend you?" And it's like, no, it's not that at all. It's just so painful to open my heart up again to somebody. I don't think it had anything to do with the conversation. It was just risky that I could get hurt again. And so I brought that into our marriage of this, I had been wounded so much. And it's just hard not to go into the next relationship and take part of that in. And so I know it played out sometimes like she would do something or say something that would feel like rejection to me. And rejection was really, really hard because I had been rejected in a really major way. And so she would do some small thing that I would take as rejection, and I would take huge amount of offense to it. And it was just really challenging. And so I recognized that I came into the relationship with a certain amount of brokenness, but in recognizing that, that was helpful to me because, you know, it wasn't like she had a completely spotless past or nothing had ever happened to her. You know, we all have things in our past that affect our present, that affect how we relate to other people, how we accept and how we give love. And so when she was a little quirkier, weirder, broken, I was able to show her grace because I was a little weird and quirky and broken myself. And so for us to have meaningful relationship with one another, I think what's really helpful is for us to accept, hey, we all have some brokenness. We all have past. We all have past wounds. And we have to be okay with that. Not that we stay in that spot or don't grow, but it's like we have to accept that, you know, hey, we're all broken. I think marriage is kind of like that, right? It's like two people that are like, yeah, I'm a mess and you're a mess, and let's go through life together. Hopefully we'll heal up as we go. For us, it was kind of that way. Maybe the second hardest thing in my life was we lost a baby during delivery, full-term delivery, about 16 years ago. And for me, it kind of shattered my view of God. You know, it was like, you know, we had prayed for this baby. Kathleen in particular, I think, had really trusted God and had all these kind of, you know, quote, promises from God about the delivery. And we got to the delivery and the baby died. And it's like, God, what is up? You know, we're trying to serve you. We're trying to serve you wholeheartedly. And, you know, at the time we were on the verge of possibly going to Latin America to start a church there. And, it's like we're trying to serve you and almost like, and this is how we get repaid. You know, so you can imagine there's a lot of turmoil there, kind of spiritual turmoil in my relationship with God. That was damaged, just like a relationship with people could be damaged. And so even in that, it's like, there's this struggle of learning and growing and brokenness, even in my relationship with God. And so when other people in the church are struggling and broken and trying to grow and they have their doubts and wrestles and all that stuff, I don't normally have a hard time with that because it's like, well, I'm not always in a good spot. I go through some pretty rough times. I'm not always 100% full of faith. Sometimes I have a lot of doubt, you know, and it's a journey that I'm on. If I understand that God's still working on me, it helps me to look at other people and not just, it's not like, oh, if I try really hard, I could kind of see how it's hard for you. It's easier. It's more natural than that. It's like, man, I sense so much brokenness in myself. It's really easy for me to be compassionate to other people in their own struggles with sin and their own struggles with faith. And I know sometimes just as a pastor, kind of a figure of authority or whatever, sometimes people are worried, you know, like, what's Steve think of me? You know, is this sermon about me and stuff like that? And I know a lot of people think that way. And From my viewpoint, though, it's like, I don't think that way. I don't look at you guys like that. I'm just someone who's on a journey. For some people, it's like, I'm further along on this journey. I've learned more things maybe than some. And I have a few things I can share, and I hope it's helpful. For some of us, we're kind of at the same spot. For some people, you might be further along in your faith journey. For a lot of us, we have things that we can help each other in. And that's great. That's just part of the process. And so I just feel like when we're humble and we can say, hey, I'm just growing, it puts in us in a spot where we can extend grace to others because they're just on the same journey. Love this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In that verse, God is doing a work in you. I think of, from a human standpoint, how when we go to do a job or a project, we have some kind of end goal in mind. And when we're working on something, we haven't reached that goal yet, and that's why we're still working. I think for each one of us, God is working on us. And we're at different places. We've started from different places. We might end in different places. But that's okay. It's God's project, and he's doing the work, and we can be okay with, hey, we're all struggling, we're trying to grow, we're trying to follow God, and so we need to extend that grace to one another. The next word I want to focus on is the word protect. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It doesn't say very much there in terms of explaining what it means by protects. I would like to propose kind of two different aspects of how we protect those that we love. I think we protect those we love from harm, but I think we also protect our own hearts to make sure that we stay in love with those that we care about. Let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, protecting the ones you love. I think of during baseball season, pretty much every season, I think there are a number of kind of highlight films like this where you see the baseball gets hit, and it's just a foul ball, and it's going into the crowd, right? And then there's the dad that jumps in front of his wife or his kid or something and protects them from getting hit by the ball. I always think that's so cool. And then there's always a guy, like every season, that does the other thing, right? And the ball is coming, and he cowers, and, his four-year-old kid gets hit in the face or something. I always feel bad for those guys. I'm not sure what I would do, I mean, if I could choose ahead of time, I think I'd make the right choice and be like, okay, I'll take the hit. But in a split second like that, I think I might duck and, please don't hit me, So let's hope that never gets put to the test. But it's just, you protect those you love, right? Like with my kids, I really love my kids. We have 8 kids and all kinds of different ages, and they're a blast, but, there are certain things. I protect them from certain language. I protect them from certain movies, or maybe even particular scenes in some movies. I protect them from negative influences, from certain friends. I love them, and so I protect them. I care about them. I think even in marriage, I remember one time Kathleen was talking to her dad on the phone. I don't know, maybe we were 25 or so. And that was kind of an unusual thing because Dad was kind of ostracized from the family because he had run off with another woman and stuff. And so she was having this conversation with him, and he started getting kind of angry and verbally abusive. And this wasn't really something that had been part of their past, and somehow she signaled me, and I started listening in. And he just was being really mean. He's like, oh, you're stupid. You've always been stupid. And so I'm her husband. And I'm like, hang up, hang up now, hang up now. Do you want me to hang it up for you? And it's just because I love her. I don't want her to take that. I just want to protect. I think even as a pastor, the Bible talks about a pastor being like a shepherd of a flock. And it's like, I want to protect our church from false teaching. I want to protect our church from false teachings in our society. I have that heart. I want to protect my family. I want to protect my kids and my wife and the church and you know, maybe even strangers at times, we would jump in front of a bus warm or something. So I think Protect can certainly take that flavor. There's another aspect of protecting, though, that I think we can protect our own hearts. When we're in a love relationship with someone, in marriage, I think that's pretty clear. Once we got married, it's like, okay, that's where my heart needs to be, is in that marriage. And so I have to protect my heart in terms of the things that I watch, things that I look at on the computer, the people I look at, the people I spend time with. I have to protect myself and just, you know, how friendly do I get if I hug another woman or something? And, you know, it's just, it's not that anything's going to go down that path, but you protect your heart to make sure that it doesn't. And that's a healthy part of that relationship, is that you're protecting not just the other person, but you're protecting the relationship by being cautious in how you treat it and how you treat others in relationship to that. So with our kids, we talk about this verse with our teenagers. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And we talk with our teens about, you know, hey, don't give your heart too readily to some guy or to some girl, because it's like your heart is really precious. You know, we don't want our kids to get hurt. We don't want them to get crushed. I don't want them to make some of the same stupid decisions that I made when I was young. You know, you want to protect your kids from that. So it's like, guard your heart. Don't give away your heart too freely. I tell our girls, you know, lots of boys are going to think you're cute. Lots of boys are going to compliment you and want to spend time with you and want to be your boyfriend. But don't give your heart away. You wait for the right guy. And so we try to teach them in that. And that's a way that they can protect their heart. And we can protect our hearts. I think when it comes to within the church, because remember 1 Corinthians 13, the context of it is within the church. I think about just our friendships and our relationships. And the topic of gossip. A couple of great verses on that. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension or division, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. And it's pretty crazy, because it's like gossip can separate not just friends, but close friends. You think of your closest friend. If you listen to gossip about them, you can start thinking differently. And so you protect that relationship by not listening to gossip. So it's a way of guarding your close friendships, and within our church body, it's a way of guarding our friendships with one another. And this is one of those funny verses that makes a lot of sense with other people. You're like, yeah, those other people, they shouldn't gossip or listen to gossip. But in our own lives, it's just one of those things that it's really easy to be like, yeah, other people can't handle that, but I can. You know, you can think, I'm spiritual enough that, you know, if you want to tell me, yeah, go ahead and tell me. I can handle it, and I can sort it out right, and I'm mature enough to handle this. And I think gossip is a lot more powerful than we think it is. We've got to be super careful. I recently was looking up some stuff on the web. There had been this pastor that years ago had given a message in his church, and someone had kind of attacked his church, and he had given this message trying to explain what had happened. And in it, he said some stuff that was pretty strong. And at first I thought, you know, oh, he's a good guy, and he's fine, and he probably didn't say anything wrong. But I looked up this thing, and it was on the web. And this is what he said. He said to his church, he said, I am your spiritual father, and I encourage you to follow me. Not these slanders, not these people who are talking against me. Follow me. And I read that. It's like, wow, it didn't seem like something this guy would say. And it started affecting how I thought about him. I'm like, why would he say that? And one of the things they said was, you know, well, he didn't apologize for these things and stuff. I'm like, well, why didn't he apologize? You know, maybe he is proud or was proud, or I was just really wrestling with it because it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't see it as necessarily being wrong, because there's a verse in Corinthians where Paul says something kind of similar. I'll just read that to you. 1 Corinthians 4:12. So we work hard with our own hands. When we're cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. That's how people were looking at him. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you. As my dear children, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with that I teach everywhere in every church. And so I'm like, well, that seems to kind of fit that verse. And I thought about this it was about 24 hours or so. From I read the thing, I'm struggling with how I'm feeling about this guy. And just finally it hit me. It's like, he wouldn't have said that. He wouldn't have said that. And it was so believable because they had posted a link to his message. And it's like, well, here's the quote and here's the link. So you're like, well, there's no way they lied because they provided the link. I'm like, no, he didn't say that. And so I went and I listened to the message and it got to this quote. And here was the real quote. First of all, he read the verse that I just read and see how I'm just adding a little bit to the front. He read the verse and then he said, and here Paul is saying, you know what, Corinthians? There are lots of people out there with good things to say, but I'm your spiritual father, and I encourage you to follow me. Not these slanders, not these people who are talking against me. Follow me. And I was like, those scoundrels. they made it look like he had said that, and he had actually said that he was summarizing that verse. And the emphasis that I want you to catch here is how easily I believe this gossip, even though it was about me. It was me. I was the pastor that said it. And I read that quote, and I was like, what's wrong with me? Why did I say that? And it took me like a full day to be like, wait a minute, I don't think that way. You know, it's like, I wouldn't say that, because I could see saying that if I had had a church of people that, you know, I had personally shared the gospel with and personally discipled, and I felt like I was their father, but I don't feel that way. I feel like, you know, we're kind of together in the faith in this journey. And it finally hit me. It's like, I would not say that. And I checked. I'm like, sure enough, I didn't. But I believed it, even about myself. And so when we think, oh, I can listen to gossip and I can handle it, I think we really underestimate the power of gossip. Because here I was reading something about myself that I knew was written by people who I had reason to question their accuracy, and yet I was falling for it. Crazy stuff. Okay, the last word that I want to focus on is trust. And hope, I think, is tied into that. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Kind of like I was talking about earlier, I think it's really challenging to enter into close relationships with people because of trust. We've been hurt in the past. We want to protect ourselves from getting hurt in the future. Like when I felt like the smashed turtle, it's like, well, I don't want to get smashed again, or I don't want to get stepped on. I'm not fully healed up. And I think we all have those things in our past where we want to protect ourselves in our feelings. And I think like the verse we looked at earlier about guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. That's interesting, because there is an element where I do want to guard my heart and protect myself from getting hurt or having my heart crushed. But there's another aspect of where, can I really experience love without the risk of getting hurt again? And I am not, this morning, I am not going to say to anyone, hey, you know, whatever you've been through, you need to trust and you need to open up your heart and you need to be vulnerable again. Because I know some people's situations and how hard that would be, and I don't know if you're at that point right now. But I will say, I think you really need to pray about that and seek God on that. You know, sometimes I'll see someone, and I don't know if it's just me or what, but have you ever seen someone that they just look wounded or they look kind of bitter? And there's just certain people, you look at them, it's like, whoa, whatever you have been through, I can tell you are really hurt and all your shields are up and you have made a conscious decision, no one is ever going to hurt me like that again. And then they go through life like that. And part of me sympathizes, like, yeah, I've been hurt and I can appreciate that. And, you know, I feel bad. It's like, I don't know what you went through, but man, it must have been terrible. But then there's part that's kind of sad, like, almost like, but isn't that hurtful? To go through life not letting anyone get close? Seems like that brings its own pain. It's almost like we need to weigh out, am I willing to risk? Am I going to shut everybody off to protect my heart? Or am I willing to risk? And when I think of this passage in 1 Corinthians 13 dealing with the church, again, not just at a level of two or three people, but if this is what God wants in our love relationships within the church, I think, man, I've got to be willing to be heard. You know, as a pastor, I've been hurt a lot by people in the church. I think of just one example. It's a really, really good friend of mine. And we had some doctrinal differences, and I felt like he was kind of going down this weird, crazy doctrinal path. And a number of people in the church had talked to him, you know, like I said, we're all on our journey. And well, this will sort itself out, and it'll be fine eventually. But at one point, he's like, hey, I want to get together with you and my co-pastor Perry and Speck, Colorado. So we got together, and he started off our meeting. He's like, hey, I just want to let you know, whatever happens, I love you guys. I'm united with you. You know, we can work this out. And I was like, yeah, okay, great. And so we started talking about this stuff, and that's great. I think it's fine when we disagree on stuff. We see things differently. We're sharing verses back and forth, and there's an aspect of that that's really healthy and good. And I think it's great to work through our differences like that. And so we went back and forth, I don't know, for probably 2 or 3 hours. And then at the end, it's like, okay, you know, we should probably wrap this up. You know, we're not making any headway here. Tell you what, here's maybe what we should do is you should go and maybe just study out this passage that we were kind of focused on. And we'll go back and study out this passage that you were focused on. And he was kind of like, yeah, no. I'm like, no, okay, you know, here's what I think would be really good. And I'm trying to lead lovingly, you know. It's like, I think you should go study this passage and we'll go study these passages. And that would, you know, then we can come back and talk about it some more. And he was even stronger in saying no. And this is one of our leaders in our church. It's like, man, you need to go back and study this passage. And we'll study this other passage. And then we can talk about it. And if you won't do that, then I don't know how you can lead in our church, or I don't even know if this is going to be a good fit for you anymore. It's like, you guys can go back and study the passage that I was talking about, but I'm convinced that I'm right. It's like, whoa. And that was that. And he left, and that was that. It's like, that's hurtful. He's my friend. And I called him up a few days later. It's like, I'm trying to process this. Remember when the meeting started off and you're like, hey, I just wanted to let you know we're together. He's like, yeah, I'd already made up my mind though. It's like, and you can agree with me or disagree about how I handled the situation. I don't know if I handled it the best, but I'm just trying to share there. That was a hurt for me. It's my friend. And I just felt like he spit in my face. And so the next person comes along, and someone comes in the church, and they sit down in the pew, and they're like, hey, how's it going? I want to be here, and I want to grow, and I want to be a part of what's going on. Can you see where for me there's a little bit of a, okay, I don't know if I want to get into this again. But for me, it's like, it's worth it. It's worth that risk. I want to love people again. I don't want to go through life just shielding myself. I keep loving, and I keep getting hurt, and that's just part of it until we learn to love each other, I guess. And it's not just for me to the church. I understand people have been hurt by church leaders, for sure. I mean, all over the place. There's this gal that was in our church and told us her story one time. She had grown up in kind of a broken home, and so she ended up leaving home as a teen. Her youth group pastor took her in, and he lived with the youth group pastor. What a great guy, you think, right? Well, you can probably guess where that story ends. He violated her. So what's she going to, is she going to go through the rest of her life just with a shield up with pastors, with a shield up with people in the church, with a shield up in her marriage, with a shield up with everybody in life? You know, there's part of me that's like, well, maybe, you know, it's like, I could sure appreciate that if she did, you know, but there's part of me that's like, but then you're also missing out on the love. You're not experiencing the love that it's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13. And so for me on this point, again, I'm not looking down on anyone and being like, you need to get over your hurts and suck it up and start loving people. It's just like, but I think God wants us to experience a genuine love, a genuine bond, a genuine commitment, a genuine just heart for one another. And that's going to be really, really hard to do if we're living life shields up. And I don't know, you can look at the verse, but love always trusts, always hopes. Do you have hope for the future in your relationships? Do you trust? Are you willing to say, I trust you enough that I'm willing to enter into a relationship even though I know I might get hurt? That's a challenge. That's a challenge. So just in summary, I think the love that it talks about here in 1 Corinthians 13 is, you know, it's an unconditional love. It's a really deep level of love. And I think it's something God, certainly I know it's something that God has shown us, and I know it's something God wants us to experience in our human relationships. I believe this is not restricted to just a handful of relationships. God wants us to have a lot of relationships like that. In fact, that love is something that should mark Christians. That people are struck by how much we love each other. And so that's something I was just really struck by that passage and really struck by how hard it was. But it's like, but if we don't go down that path, I think we miss out on so much. So let's pray. Well, Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to, I don't know, there's just an aspect of where it's, I don't know, kind of head knowledge or doctrine. It's like, yeah, we really need to love one another. But just like in my own experiences, it can be so painful and so hard and so, just, I felt so vulnerable at times. And yet, I know that I need to be vulnerable. I know that I need to be willing to continue to love people and open my heart to them. I don't want to get stepped on. I want to guard my heart and not just get crushed all the time, but I don't want to shield myself from what you have for me. So I pray that you would help me and help each one of us to grow in these things and to be able to just figure out this balance in our own lives and to be able to heal up from past hurts and to just press forward in our relationships and to trust one another again, and even more importantly, to trust you with the hurts that we've felt in our relationship. And so, God, I just pray you would help each one of us on this journey. And thank you for this time here. And just pray you would just enjoy and be glorified by these last couple songs we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.